And dear friends, it's so good to see you in church again on this glorious Lord's Day morning. And I trust you've brought your Bible with you. I'd like you to turn with us now to Romans chapter 12, the book of Romans. I'm wondering how many Catholics are here today. By that I mean this. Catholic means universal. And the Catholic Church is a term that can properly be used for all true believers. And I wonder how many Roman Catholics are here. It's been my privilege for years to be Roman all over the world, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I'm a Roman Catholic. And if you know Jesus is your Savior, I hope wherever you go, you're sharing the good news of the gospel. But this book, Romans, was written by the Apostle Paul while he was in Ephesus to the people in Rome where he had not yet been. And he wanted to share the gospel with them afresh. And he, in the first 11 chapters of this book, is describing the heart of what the gospel is all about. First of all, the bad news. Every one of us is a sinner. We were born with a sinful nature. My parents didn't need to teach me how to sin. It just came naturally, and it does for every one of us. And because we have a sinful nature, and then we do sinful acts, and as a result, there is judgment that comes upon us, condemnation. And then the Apostle Paul describes that in the first chapters of Romans. But then he goes on to the good news. But there is salvation that can cancel all of our sin and change our nature and give us a new nature in Jesus Christ. And so he talks about forgiveness and justification, being justified. And he talks about sanctification and how to live a holy life. And he talks even about glorification. Won't that be a wonderful day? That's still to come. Now, aren't you excited about being saved? It's glorious. And that's what the Apostle Paul is talking about in the first 11 chapters. And then at the end of that, notice chapter 11, beginning with verse 33. And I'd like you now to stand with me as I read this. This is God's holy word, and we stand in honor of him and in reverence for this holy word that he gives us today. Romans 11, beginning with verse 33. I hope you feel this same way. I hope it overcomes you, overwhelms you with the wonder of God's word. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor, or who has first given to him that it might be paid back to him again? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. And then he goes into chapter 12. Therefore, because of all this wonderful truth of chapters 1 to 11, he says, I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Praise God for his word. Heavenly Father, we bow before you this morning, thanking you for revealing yourself and your will and your way and your glorious salvation to us through your Bible that we hold in our hands today. May you speak to us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you, friends. You may be seated. As you see on the screen, I'd like to chat with you this morning about Christ's lordship of my body. Now, I'd like you to say that verse that you see before us right now on the screen. That's verse 1. Let's speak it together in a loud voice. Will you do that with me? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now, I want to just speak this morning to just a very select group here. I have a target audience that I want to talk to this morning. And the rest of you can go to sleep on this. But if you are in this target audience, I want you to listen. I want to speak this morning only to those who are here who have a body. I'm looking around here. I see a lot of bodies here. And every one of you who has a body, this is for you. Now, I must tell you this. There are some beings here in this room this morning who do not have bodies. For instance, I believe there are angels in this room, as I mentioned a few weeks ago. And thank God, angels are ministering spirits that are sent forth to minister to those who are heirs of eternal life. So if you're a Christian, I'm sure that there are angels that are present and are very much aware of the message this morning. But I'm not speaking to them because they don't need any preaching. They're okay. May I say this also? I believe that in this room there could be representatives of the arch enemy of our Savior. His name is Satan, and he has demons. Demons are fallen angels who fell with him, a third of the heavenly host that fell back towards the beginning of creation because they rebelled against God. And they are sealed in their damnation. And right now they are seeking to do their worst to fight against the glorious purposes of our Savior. But it's possible that present in this very room this morning are demons who would like for you right now to go to sleep and to not listen to what God's Word says to us here. I'm also glad to know that there is present in this room this morning God Himself. God the Holy Spirit is here, who lives within each believer the moment you received Jesus as Savior. Maybe you didn't realize it. I didn't when I was first saved as a boy. I didn't realize that the Holy Spirit came to live in this body. But God is here this morning. And it's my prayer that every one of us will let Him speak to us through His Word today. I want you to see this next slide because I want you to understand the main idea of what I want to get across this morning from this scripture is this, that giving my body to God is the smartest thing I can do. And notice what it says in our text, it's your reasonable service. It's the most reasonable thing that you can do. And I want for you to make this reasonable service happen this morning. And I want for you to think with me about giving your body to God. Now, maybe you've already done that. I hope every one of you has. But it's possible to change my mind today from yesterday and say, I want it back. You see, this body doesn't belong to me. It really belongs to Him. He made it. He redeemed it. It belongs to Him, and I'm the one who lives in this body, and I'm responsible to take care of it as a good custodian. Did you know that C.S. Lewis said, "You do not have a soul." Did I get your attention when I said that? I'll say it again. You do not have a soul. Here's what C.S. Lewis said. You are a soul, and you have a body. Does that clarify it for you? So who's the real you? Now, you are a package right now. Your body and your soul, one package together. But eternally, you have an eternal soul. And a million years from today, you will still be you someplace, either in heaven or in hell. And right now, you have a body. And you may have that body for 60, 70, maybe 80 years, maybe 90 years. This last week, I conducted the funeral of a precious saint who was 96. They say it's a wise thing to live to be at least 96 or more, because very few people die at that age. Did you realize that? In fact, I've been told that the more birthdays you have, the longer you'll live. But sooner or later, these bodies, unless the rapture of the church takes place first, will be placed in a grave. So these bodies are temporary, but they are oh so important. And the Apostle Paul says, I want you to think consciously about giving your body to God and recognizing that He is Lord of it all. Now let's ask a question. Why should I give my body to God? And by the way, if you have a bulletin, you maybe have found in your bulletin already a pumpkin-colored sheet that you can use to take some notes and write these things down. They may be helpful to you. Why should I give my body to God? Well, let me suggest, first of all, because of what God has done for me. What has He done for me? I'll tell you, He gave His body for you. Isn't that amazing? His body that was nailed to that cross on the tree. And as the Apostle Paul gets into the book of Romans, he is like a lawyer. And he's just lining out his case. And he says, because this is true, therefore this is true. And because this is true, therefore this is true. And because this is true, therefore this is true. There are a total of 27 therefores that I counted in the book of Romans. But I'd like you to see four of them in particular. The first one from Romans 3:20 is, therefore, about that there is no condemnation. Therefore, this is the therefore of no condemnation. Because all of us, that is of condemnation. This is the bad one, the bad news, the therefore of condemnation. We are all condemned because we are all sinners. And if you had time to read Romans chapter 3, you might like to see it just a little bit. Maybe look back at chapter 3 where the Apostle Paul lays out his case. And let me just begin reading with verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. Did you hear that, folks? I'm looking at all of you. Not a one of us is righteous before God. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside together. They have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. Do you realize we live in a world where many people say, well, basically, everybody is good. Do you believe that? Now, it's possible for some bad people to do some good things. For instance, I've read about people who lead in the mafia, but who do some nice things, even some charitable things for this, that, or the other person. But basically, every one of us is a sinner, a hopeless sinner. And we have a sinful nature, and we're prone to do bad things. And it goes on to say here, in verse 13. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues they keep deceiving. The poison of asps or snakes is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their paths, and the path of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks of those who are under the law, that every mouth may be closed, and all the world may become accountable to God. And as the King James Version says, therefore, by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. So this is the therefore of condemnation. All of us are sinners. But I'm glad the book of Romans doesn't stop there. Look at the next one and see this. This is the therefore of justification. Verse 1 of chapter 5, what does it say to us? Oh, listen to it. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And God is able to change a sinner and make him or her a saint right on the spot. That's what happens the moment you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And your position then is that of being a saint, justified before God. What does justified mean anyway? Somebody said justified means just as if I'd never sinned. And that's how God sees you. The moment you receive Christ as Savior, He sees the sin canceled. Isn't that wonderful? But justification is more than that. It's also, you see, a dog or a cat hasn't sinned either. That just puts you on a level of an animal. Justification is not only just as if I'd never sinned, it's also just as if I'd always been good. Why? Because the goodness, the righteousness of Jesus Christ is placed upon me. And as God looks through this ceiling today and sees all of you seated here, He sees every one of you who has received Christ Jesus as Savior as clothed in the white righteousness of Christ Himself. Isn't that amazing? That's to be justified. That's what it means. Oh, thank God for that. This is the therefore, and that therefore is there because in the preceding chapter, Paul is talking about how a person is justified, not by our works, but by the work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. He paid the price to pay the penalty of my sin. That's why He has the authority and the ability to forgive my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And that's enough to make a Baptist shout, hallelujah, isn't it? And may we never get over the wonder of being saved, therefore being justified by faith. But I want you to see something more. And there's also here the therefore of sanctification. And you'll see that in chapter 8. And look at it here in verse 1, and it'll come up on the screen in just a moment here. So you'll see that. And I would call it assurance, because now I know for sure that I'm saved. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. See, this cancels out all that condemnation that was true of every one of us before we were saved. And now there is no condemnation. Praise the Lord. And so I have a wonderful assurance. Do you know for sure that you're saved? The Lord wants you to know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. Not just, I hope I'm saved. Oh, that's dangerous. The Lord wants you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt. And this verse tells us, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And the moment you received Him as Savior, you were placed in Christ Jesus. And I want you to see something else now. And here we come to chapter 12. This is the therefore, and notice what it says, of dedication. I want to now commit my heart and my life totally to the Lord Jesus. And so that's why I should give my body totally to the Lord Jesus Christ. But here's another reason. Why should I give my body to God? Not only because of what God has done for me, but because my body belongs to God. We read about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19 and 20, that the Apostle Paul is speaking to the people in Corinth, and he says, you folks, some of you have been really deep in sin. You've gotten into all kinds of bad stuff. But now you've come to Christ, and you've been cleansed, and now the Holy Spirit lives within you. So he says, don't you know that your body, again, I think that's most everybody here, every one of us who has a body, he's talking to us. Your body, if you're a believer, is the temple, and here we are at Temple Baptist Church. And Temple Baptist Church is filled with a whole bunch of temples. Our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. And he goes on to say, you're not your own. You were bought with a price. What a price Jesus paid on the cross of Calvary for us. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which belong to God. So there is why we should give our bodies to the Lord. Let's ask another question. How should I give my body to God? I'd like to suggest two things here that come from this text. First of all, gratefully, with much thanksgiving. Why? Because of the mercies of God. Did you see that in our verse? I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. And those first 11 chapters are talking about God's mercy to us. Now, mercy and grace are two wonderful words that can maybe sometimes be interchanged, but there is a special meaning to mercy. Mercy especially means God's withholding from me the things that the judgment that I should have received. And grace is the pouring on to me of all the things that I don't deserve of His kindness and goodness to me. And here he says, by the mercies of God, oh, think of the judgment that should have come to me. But God has withheld that because of what Jesus did on the cross and because I have received Jesus as my personal Savior. And therefore, I've received the mercies of God. Thank you, Lord. Can you just say that in your heart? Thank you, Lord, for your mercies. Therefore, by the mercies of God, present your body. So I should do this gratefully. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. How sad it is when a person says, well, yeah, okay, the Lord says my body belongs to him, so okay, I'll give him my body. No, that's not with gratefulness, is it? Not gratitude there. But I want to do it joyfully, gratefully, Lord, because of your mercies to me. I just can't do anything else but give you myself. But there's another word I'd like to suggest here too. How should I give my body to God? Not only gratefully, but totally. Totally. And we see that here. Present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. Totally. And when you see holy, that means totality. Holiness means to be separated from everything that is bad unto everything that is good to the Lord. And so it's a total commitment of my heart and life to Jesus Christ. Can you imagine a guy saying, I love my wife, but she wouldn't mind, I'm sure, if I had a girlfriend on the side. That would be awful, wouldn't it? Can you imagine a Christian saying, well, I belong to the Lord, I give him myself, but I'm going to dabble with some of the idols of this world as well. And so often, it's so easy for you and for me to play and dabble with things that do not reflect our total commitment to Jesus Christ. May God prompt us, in even as we're just thinking about it right now, and you've no doubt, many of you thought of this for many years as you walked with the Lord, that I need to recommit my total life and self to Him. And it begins with this body that we have, to give our bodies to the Lord. Some people say, I've given my heart to the Lord, my spirit to the Lord's, but I'm going to go off this direction with my own body. Can you do that? No, you are you're a package deal. And whoever has your body is Lord. And if you've given your body to Christ, He is Lord of your life. May I encourage you to always live that way. Can you imagine somebody saying, my body is mine and I can do with it whatever I want? And you'll hear that word, won't you, in society? No, your body is not your own. It belongs to God. And you're the caretaker. And God has given us a responsibility to take good care of it for His glory. So, how should I give my body to God? Gratefully and totally. Let me ask another question. When should I give my body to God? Now, I'd like to suggest four things here. And all of them begin with today. Today, I should give my body to the Lord today. Why? Because I may never have a tomorrow. That's one reason. You may be feeling good right now, and you may be saying, everything's fine with me. You may be like my friend Wendell yesterday in Kitchener, who was walking his dog and came back home and sat down, and his wife stepped out for just a moment. She was prompted in her heart to go back in the house, and in those few seconds, Wendell had a massive heart attack. And Adrian and I sat with his wife at St. Mary's Hospital for 2.5 hours yesterday as we were waiting for the doctor to come out and tell us what was happening. And the doctor showed us that all of the major arteries were totally blocked, and that you couldn't use stents, and it looked like even surgery was improbable. And that man is very close to death's door, if not already having passed. I'm happy to tell you this, that Wendell opened his heart to Jesus Christ a little over a year ago, and his wife as well. So it's so important to be ready, isn't it? Today, because I may never have a tomorrow. When should I give my body to God? Here's another reason. Today, because I am accountable to God for today. Every one of us must someday stand before our Heavenly Father to give an account of the things that we have done in our body, whether good or bad. Is that scary? That's a proper scare. That's a healthy fear. And that should prompt me to recognize that I need to, since I'm going to have to give an account for this day, I'd better make sure that I'm not ashamed about it, so that we're not ashamed at His coming when He calls us. We are accountable. Here's another reason why I should give my body, when I should give my body to God. Today, so that I can invest this day for God's glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 tells us about the judgment seat of Christ when he will be awarding to his faithful ones, to his believers, rewards according to how they have used each day to glorify him. And what a wonderful investment it is to invest our energies, our total resources in honoring the Lord in our lives. And let's invest. And there is a day of reward coming. Look forward to it. And then there's another reason I'd like to suggest. When should I give my body to God? I'd like to suggest today, because I don't want any regrets for wasted years. It's been a joy to see people come to the Lord sometimes in later life, but their one regret is, why didn't I come to Christ earlier? Now, it may be true for a number of us who are here that we came to the Lord later in life. And praise the Lord, you have come to him. One of the best ways to deal with the sense of regret, though, that you didn't come earlier, is just to focus afresh on, but the grace of God. And instead of turning inward and saying, oh, why didn't I come earlier? Say, oh Lord, I thank you that you drew me to yourself before it was everlastingly too late. And then from here on, live for Christ. It may be that some of us are in this auditorium this morning. We have never yet personally received Jesus Christ as Savior. We are still under condemnation. And my advice to you, my dear friend, is to come right now in your heart where you are and say, oh Lord, I want now to open my heart to Christ. I want to repent from my sin. I want to receive Jesus as my one and only and all-sufficient Savior, and I want to become a child of God. And beginning today, no matter what the past has been, no matter what it has been, God can forgive all sin. The only sin he can't forget is your rejection of Jesus Christ as Savior. And if you'll open your heart to Christ today, he will come into your life. The Holy Spirit will make his dwelling in this temple. Your body will become a temple not of Satan's desires, but of Christ's desires for you as the Holy Spirit lives here. And then you won't need to worry about the regrets. But once you've become a Christian, how important it is that from then on you don't waste those days and those years. May you never have that kind of a regret. Maybe you know that just yesterday was a funeral service in a Baptist church in New Jersey. A young woman by the name of, maybe you've heard her name, Whitney Houston, grew up in that church. And she became very, very successful according to the world standards. Maybe you've heard her amazing voice. And my, how she could sing. She learned to sing in church, in that Baptist church. But I heard a commentator say this. She sang with so much control. If you've ever heard her voice, what control? She sang with so much control, but lived with so little. And as a result, her life was wrecked by drugs and alcohol and living that was not pleasing to the Lord. And I want to say this, though that funeral was yesterday for her, I'd like to suggest we have a funeral here. What do I mean by that? That I say, Lord, I want to die to myself. and to my own selfish desires and want to live for Jesus from here to heaven. And may I invite you to bow in prayer with me as we have. By the way, before we do that, there's one more thing I do want to show you on the slide. This will be helpful. And would you bring that up? A little while ago, Adrian and I was ministering in Scotland and in Ireland. We were there for a month. And one Sunday I was preaching at a church called the Hamilton Baptist Church, a suburb of Glasgow. And near there is the home of David Livingston. Does that name ring a bell with you? David Livingston was one of the greatest missionaries the world has ever known. He was one of the fathers of modern-day missions. He went to Africa. You'll see him there, and we're standing by a picture of him. You'll notice his left arm is kind of hanging there. That's because, and he couldn't use that left arm for this reason. Show the next thing. One day he was attacked by a lion that gnawed right into that arm as he was ministering in Africa, in the heart of Africa. But he continued faithfully on. And some years later, a man by the name of Stanley was sent to Africa to try to find him and to bring him back to England to be honored for all the good things he had done. And he said, "No, I'm going to stay here." So Stanley went back to England. This next slide will show you what David Livingston said. This was a stained glass window there in that museum to David Livingston's life. And it says this: 5 days after Stanley left him, Livingston wrote in his diary, notice these words, "My Jesus, my King, my life, my all, I again dedicate my whole life to thee." And that's something that you and I can do right now. In just a moment, our worship team is going to lead us in our closing hymn, which is called, "Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated, Lord, to Thee." But before we sing it, as they come, if they'll come right now, let's bow in prayer. O gracious Heavenly Father, may we choose not to go the way of Whitney Houston, but the way of David Livingston. May we today, this very moment, either make or else renew this commitment afresh to give you our bodies that they may be pleasing to you and fulfilling all the purposes that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.